Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we have a lot to talk to you about today about signs of overwatering your plants. But before we get to there, there is still some time to visit the Master Gardeners at Artovino's Farmers Market. They'll be there about another hour or so if you're lucky. But nevertheless, they'll be out there every Saturday morning from now until Labor Day. So make sure that you stop by, attend their plant clinic, ask a Master Gardener your questions, bring a plant sample, bring your smartphones with your photos, and visit with Master Gardeners. They're certainly out to answer your questions. And also, if you're interested in becoming a Master Gardener, they do have on hand the application for this fall's program.
Okay, it's almost time again. That's
I
exciting.
Know, right? Oh, there's a lot of things going on. And
summer hadn't even officially started.
Well, you know, we kick off the application season June 1st.
Right.
I mean, that's just when we start accepting all these applications. It's a tradition, right?
Tradition.
And if you're also interested in taking maybe a weekend class without the full Master Gardener program, there's still time to register for the EPCC class, Gardening in El Paso, taught by El Paso Master Gardener Specialists through our Speakers Bureau program. So that's an online registration directly with EPCC, but you can find that information on our website at txmg.org/El Paso or give us a call at the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354.
Absolutely. And if you want to go out to Artovino's, I believe we still have some really yummy fresh garlic and even some onions that we have harvested in the last few days. So I think they'll be ready and I think they dried enough that they're ready to sell. If not, certainly next week they'll be ready to go.
Very good.
Yummo.
And then you're ramping up for the tomato season, right?
Yes, they're coming. They're looking really good. And I've had to, I had to do a little quality control. So we have some called Ruby Crush. That's a new variety that are a little wonderful salsa tomato. And they're very, very tasty. So we should have some of those to harvest before too much longer.
All right. So as the weather is ramping up and we have a lot of gardening and outreach activities going on around town, we still get a lot of inquiries on the best way to manage your irrigation for your plants. So on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about some signs that you may be overwatering your plants, which we've kind of seen tends to be one of the two problems that most people have. They either overwater or they underwater.
Typical extension answer.
But you know, John,
it really is, because a lot of it is human error.
Right. And you the know? Symptoms are pretty similar.
They are. It's really difficult. So like, you have to have a conversation with people. It's not just like send in a sample and then like, oh yeah, that's what's going on with your plant, and you bounce it back to them. It's that conversation. And I always start, what is different this year as compared
previous
to last year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know, and then they start going into the backstory. Like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and it's easier to overwater because, you know, we promote planting native and adaptive native plants. And one of the reasons we do that is because they're water conservators. And, you know, many of them are water, especially if you're looking at your succulents and some of the others. So it's, and we're accustomed to looking and saying, oh, it's 102 degrees outside and this looks droopy, so grab the hose.
Right.
Or, you know, and let's flood things out. I have a family member that lives right next door to me, and he is the world's worst. And I'm always teasing him about, you know, he said, well, why did this die? Well, you drowned it.
Right.
You know, we see what goes on top of the soil, but we don't stop and think about what goes on, the riot that goes on underneath. And I think that's an important thing to understand.
And that's your first sign, is that your plant is wilting, but it has plenty of water.
Certainly.
On there.
And there it goes, well, that's an oxymoron. That doesn't seem to make sense. Why is it wilting if it's got too much water?
Right, exactly. And I think a lot of that is because when you water your plants and you water it potting soil or whatever, you are essentially, there's a point overwatering the plant. It's going to almost be deprived of oxygen. And I know it kind of sounds kind of counterintuitive. Well, I'm watering my plant to keep it going, but there needs to be an equal balance, gas exchange and water in that soil root system. And if that's somehow imbalanced,
out of whack,
then that's when you start seeing that this plant is like choking itself, because there's just not enough of that exchange going on there. And that's really obvious when you, I don't know that when you're doing the valley irrigation with your pecan trees, right, John? As you go out there, you kind of see that day after you kind of flood it and the plants kind of look like, oh, what's going on here?
Well, they may change color.
They may change color, mm-hmm. Or they even look
they
a little
start yellow, a little
yellow, exactly. So that's kind of like what's going on in our containers or in our soil as well. So, you know, we always talk about measuring our water, how much water, you know, if it's, you know, inches of water application that we're putting on. But that's really where you need to do that field test and kind of use, you know, your tools that you have or even just your index finger to be able to kind of check to see what's going on the at the root surface to see if you need to water that irrigation or not.
Well, and as I teach container gardening, I talk a lot about the pencil test. You know, that's a really great, inexpensive water meter. I mean, and you can go out, and I'm not saying don't go out and buy the meters because they're great and they do measure. But I always lose mine, can't find which pot I left it in. So I just stick a number two pencil behind my ear. And I like the number two that are shiny because if you put that pencil into your soil, you pull it out and you see that there's mud around it, you know, or damp soil around it, then you know that it's damp down underneath. If it comes out dry, time to water. Mm-hmm. And it's long enough that generally, especially for your ornamentals, you can go down far enough. I also use a chopstick sometimes. It tends to get stained by the soil if you've done it and it's wet.
Uh-huh.
And then when you pull it out, even when you after it dries out, it's stained. But with that shiny number two pencil, you can pull the soil right off. So, but those things are, you know, those are little tips that make a big difference in, you know, and because then you reduce your frustration level. You know, the article, John, you sent us a really good article on the fact that the leaves turn yellow. Well, and that's a sign of overwatering, but it's also a sign of underwatering. So how do we tell when they're yellow?
A lot of times your leaves will still be turgid. Mm-hmm. They'll just begin the yellow in color, whereas as they become lack of water or too much water, then the leaves will begin to droop and maybe wilt and go. But, you know, I don't know whether you get wiser as you get older, but you know, you have to treat every yard almost separate now. You can't just say water every other day and it's going to take care of it because you don't know the situation in every yard. There's little microclimates. And so physically getting out and checking the soil is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And as a gardener, you know, you should be out in your garden. You should pay attention to things like that. So, like
it's the gardener's shadow that we talk about all the time.
Stick a screwdriver, a pencil, whatever.
Right.
In
even
the ground
a dowel.
Check for
works.
How wide the water's going out and how deep it's going. So that is important. If it's sitting on the surface for a day, we got problems.
Right. And I think sometimes when we have our containers or we have certain plants that like succulents, I know we talk about bulbine, which is a really popular, dainty-looking plant with
colorful
nice flowers. But it's a really strong plant and can withstand a lot of drought. You know, you don't have to water it very often. And I think we tend to try to maybe neglect those certain plants because we don't want to have those, you know, those fleshy leaves kind of start bursting on us or wilting on us.
Right.
And then we get the opposite problem. We start seeing those little tips of those leaves start browning up as well. And people sometimes they may overthink or may think they have a bigger issue than really what they have. So,
well, and like you say, low water doesn't mean no water.
Right.
Even for your natives and your succulent. And I've been guilty of that in the past. You know, people say, well, how often do you water? Well, it depends. You know, if you had a lot of wind like we've had in the last month, then you know, the wind dries all that stuff out. So you have to really be diligent and be out there and be conscious of what. And like you said, John, we've got different microclimates throughout our yard. So what your grass is going to need, and I'm sure we'll talk about that on another show as well, but and what your containers or your flower beds need may be very, very different because of that microclimate and the different conditions
just
that are out there.
Depth of rooting on different things too.
Sure.
Trees are deeper rooted than your little annual flowers. Mm-hmm. Annual flowers are going to need more water.
Sure.
But you don't want to overwater your tree by not necessarily overwatering your annuals, but you're watering them more often,
mm-hmm.
and you may be damaging your tree or some of your woody plants because you're just putting too much water on. So you got to match your plants with water needs.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think a lot of times that's a really common issue that most people have. They water their lawn for their grass or for their turf grass that they have.
Right.
But then that tree itself is just not being able to pull up enough water
at
the depth that it needs to be able to infiltrate that. So, yeah, it's not very strange for us to say, well, stick out to your soaker hose out there and give that tree that's next to your lawn a good drink of water.
I always argue with the people that do the irrigation scheduling because they're scheduling for lawn, for turf grass,
right. And
not for your trees.
Yes.
And so it'll put your tree roots up closer to the surface instead of being down deeper.
Right.
And then they say, why is my sidewalk or my patio cracking?
All right.
Well,
or the tree looks the same for the last 10 years.
My lawn.
Right.
Well, and I like the deep root feeders that you can get. I'll use those and just, without fertilizer and just poke those down in there and remember to water around the canopy, not next to the trunk of a pecan tree that's 40 years old. That's not going to do a whole lot of good.
Right.
So be out there. And of course, which that changes as well, especially if you're doing it proper. Our plants are just like us. They need the nutrients, they need the water, and they need the air.
Right.
So if we didn't have it, we'd be in trouble too. So
right.
I think that it's a really a good thing. And there's lots of good articles out there on the internet that can help you to understand and learn. We've got a lot of good information on our website.
Mm-hmm.
The only constructive criticism about our website for me is that there's so much is that somebody needs to allot my time so that I can sit down and read it all.
Right.
And but it's very well organized on that website, and you can, just put in a couple of search words and you'll find some really good articles on how to do it here.
Right.
Not in Atlanta, Georgia or Bangor, Maine, because that's not going to do you any good.
It's
all about what's going on in El Paso.
Right.
And don't get discouraged,
And typically, our weather, typically El Paso is very dry from January to July.
Right.
We don't expect a lot of rain.
Right.
Anything you get's a, gift. But, we hope for that monsoon season when it kicks in that it will bring us some water. And that helps take care of a lot of ills.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of gardens do perk up in that monsoon season because they need that extra little
they get a shot
boost
of clean water.
Exactly.
Nice clean
yeah, exactly.
Water.
It's water from above and not from the hose. And there's a difference. That's why it's so important, too, that's a whole nother show, is to do some rainwater harvesting and collect that good stuff.
Definitely.
Because
so we know that
ration it out.
Exactly. And we know that watering your plants and overwatering and underwatering is a really difficult and complex issue, but we're more than happy to be able to sit down with you, have a conversation on what's going on with your plants and to help you identify exactly what those issues are. So we hope those little tips have kind of helped you or hopefully not, added more
confusion
to the issue. But if you'd like to, you can always visit our website. And we want to thank you for listening to today's show and thank Danny Gonzalez, engineering and producing today's show.
Our new graduate.
Yes,
congratulations Danny.
Woohoo! And thank you for listening to today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.